The story begins with a young American arriving in Dover on a foggy March night in 1973, finding himself locked out of hotels and eventually sleeping on a seaside shelter wearing boxer shorts as a makeshift hat. By morning, this traveller, Bill Bryson, had fallen irrevocably in love with Britain, with its unfamiliar customs and strange words like streaky bacon. 20 years later, before moving back to America with his family, Bryson embarked on a farewell journey around his adopted homeland. The resulting book became an instant classic, selling over 2 million copies and even earning Prince Charles' endorsement as required reading for anyone wanting to understand the British psyche. Through Bryson's eyes, we discover a country of endearing contradictions, a place that constantly underestimates its own significance while harbouring some of the world's most delightful eccentricities. Mention in a British pub that you're driving from Surrey to Cornwall, a distance Americans would casually travel for a taco, and your companions will exchange knowing looks before launching into an elaborate discussion about roots. The conversation quickly descends into mind-numbing detail about lay-bys, grit boxes, and shortcuts past cement works. The British have a totally private sense of distance, pretending their island exists in an empty green sea. Europe exists in the abstract, but isn't nearby in any meaningful sense. Living in Bournemouth, Bryson was astounded to discover he was closer to Cherbourg than London. But his colleagues refused to accept this geographic reality.
London's vastness unfolds from the train. Endless grey suburbs stretching from Dover with identical terraced houses and stuccoed semis like machine-made sausages. Even after 8 years of living and working there, it remains a mystery to Bryson. The city never ceases to surprise him with unknown districts and obscure village names like Duddon Hill, Snaresbrook, and Vale of Health. The AZ Guide is remarkable, mapping every cricket ground and sewage works across 45,687 streets, including 21 Gloucester Roads, 74 Victorias, and whimsical names like Coldblow Lane and Nutter Lane. London stands as the world's most wonderful city, more beautiful than Paris, livelier than anywhere except New York. Its charm lies in its history, parks, theaters, museums, and countless small civilities, red pillar boxes, helpful policemen, blue plaques, and ubiquitous benches. With minor improvements to Heathrow, weather, and the return of red phone boxes, it would be perfect.
The London Underground is a marvel, a subterranean realm of strange winds and eerie sounds. Harry Beck's ingenious underground map abandoned geographical accuracy for clarity, creating an electrical diagram that bears little relation to reality above. This distortion sometimes leads visitors to take lengthy journeys between stations that are merely yards apart at street level. The station names evoke a romantic, pastoral Britain, Stanford Brook, Turnham Green, Maida Vale, suggesting a mythic pre-industrial city beneath the modern metropolis. This hidden world is just one layer of Britain's concealed dimensions. In Virginia Water, Bryson found another hidden Britain at Holloway Sanatorium, where patients freely roam the village. They'd buy cigarettes, enjoy tea, or converse with invisible companions while shopkeepers and locals accepted them naturally. Among the 500 patients was Harry, an idiot savant who could instantly name any date's weekday and mysteriously foretold the institution's closure years ahead. English hostelries have modernized remarkably since 1973. Bryson's Bournemouth room featured color TV, coffee service, private bath with fluffy towels, and toiletries. He relished the solo traveler's ritual, running a deep bath, arranging belongings precisely, and hanging wet clothes before a long soak. Such civility runs deep in British life. At Windsor Station, an Asian ticket collector and passengers exchanged rapid thank yous, a courtesy rare elsewhere. On a Twickenham train, rugby fans boarded with quintessential British politeness, apologizing for any contact. Britain's 30,000 place names offer endless charm, From pubs like the Eagle and Child to teams like Sheffield Wednesday, each tells a story. Villages evoke summer afternoons, Winterbourne Abbas, hinted mysteries, Husband's Bosworth, or sound like household products, Poddo, and ailments, Scabcliff.
Britain's architectural heritage is staggering. 445,000 listed buildings, 12,000 medieval churches, 1.5 million acres of common land, and 600,000 archaeological sites. Bryson's Yorkshire village alone contains more 17th century buildings than all of North America. Yet despite this abundance, the country's historic fabric is slowly eroding. Walking through Salisbury's shopping streets, Bryson encountered jarring modern retail chains thoughtlessly inserted into historic buildings. A half-timbered structure housed a Lun Poly travel agency, glorious above but defaced below with cheap mosaic tiles that seemed stolen from a public restroom. The site raised questions about how architects, designers, and planners could permit such degradation. Yet spaces like Salisbury Cathedral Close, arguably England's most beautiful space surrounding its most beautiful structure, show what's possible when heritage is properly preserved. Every element has been enhanced by 7 centuries of careful stewardship, embodying the delicate balance between preservation and progress that defines Britain's relationship with its built heritage. Bryson discovered the Settle to Carlisle railway line, perpetually threatened with closure despite its celebrated status. British Rail's claim that it doesn't pay its way seems absurd, as this logic would eliminate many vital public services. Through the train window, he admired the Bleamore Tunnel, Britain's highest station at Dent, and the magnificent Ribblehead Viaduct with its 24 arches. The Yorkshire Dales captured his heart with its contrasts, high fells with sweeping views alongside sheltered valleys with nestled villages, creating a peaceful isolation. Life here defied London friends' skepticism. The locals' habit of unannounced visits required adjustment, leading to occasional pantry dashes in underpants. Despite Yorkshire's reputation for meanness, Bryson found its people genuinely welcoming, shown through subtle gestures like the Malhamdale wave, a slight finger lift from the steering wheel signaling acceptance.
From a viewpoint overlooking Malhamdale, Bryson took in the scene. Steep hills lined with dry stone walls, scattered hamlets, the two-room schoolhouse, old church with sycamores, the local pub, and his stone house that predated his native America. He realized he loved everything about Britain, from marmite and village fetes to people saying, mustn't grumble, milk in bottles, beans on toast, seaside piers, ordnance survey maps, and drizzly Sundays. Where else would you find place names like Tooting Bee and Farley Wallop, judges wearing little mops, or a naval hero whose dying wish was to kiss Hardy full on the lips? Only Britain could produce Shakespeare, Christopher Wren, Windsor Great Park, the Open University, and chocolate digestive biscuits. Britain fought a noble war, peacefully dismantled an empire, and created a welfare state, yet often saw itself as a failure. Still, it remains the finest place to post a letter, walk, watch television, visit museums, or admire a hillside view. In our homogenized world, Britain's peculiar charms and gentle eccentricities aren't just entertaining, they're essential reminders that the most meaningful places maintain their unique character.